Welcome to the B2B Manufacturing Marketing Executive Podcast. If you want to learn how leading B2B marketers are achieving excellent growth results, you're in the right place. This episode is brought to you by RH Blake, a leading B2B and manufacturing-focused marketing agency. To learn more, visit rhblake.com. Now, here is your host, Dan Konstantinovsky.
Thank you, everybody out there listening today. Wanted to welcome you to the B2B Manufacturing Marketing Executive Podcast, hosted by RH Blake. And today we have a special guest. His name is Eric Schlau, and you guys are in for a treat. Wanted to introduce everybody. Eric's a marketing operations analyst for Concentric, and they're a forklift and critical power company that specializes in engineering uptime for manufacturers and distributors. So they can focus on their core business while Concentric focuses on theirs. His background spans a variety of marketing disciplines, both traditional and non-traditional, among numerous industries, HVAC, construction, food and beverage, and management consulting. So, Eric, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Dan, for having me. I appreciate the invite.
You know, as someone that's maybe relatively new to industrial marketing, you and I had a kind of a pre-chat, so to speak. How does reality compare with what you're seeing? How does reality compare with expectations?
It compares. I mean, the construction and HVA industry, they're somewhat industrial, but yeah, it compares with my expectations. I mean, the content can be a little dry sometimes, but you know, what really gets me fired up is prospecting and sales enablement. You know, really figuring out who to target and how to go about pursuing them, and working closely in sales and doing so. So that's what I really enjoy.
So you enjoy kind of the prospecting and figuring out how to pursue folks. What are some things that you've seen out there that work maybe especially well? I realize there's no silver bullet, but maybe if you could talk a little bit about what are some successes that you're seeing.
Sure. So with the current firm we're working with, they have a saying that narrow the focus and expand the yield. So really having clarity on who your customer is and what their problems are, rather than the spray and pray approach of going after, you know, everyone and everything, you know, really figure out who you don't want to work with. And ultimately, if you do less or focus on less prospects with greater intent and more intensity, you'll yield more results and it'll be a better quality, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And, as you're doing kind of that education, you know, that it's trying to get a better understanding of maybe pain points for your customers and so on, what are some tools that you use? How do you go about maybe gaining some of that education? What's working for you guys?
Sure. So we're still a very young company, a young brand. We're only about a year old. And of course, we do persona interviews, but we really heavily rely on the years of forklift battery data that we've recorded the past 30 years. And it basically gives us a story for each customer we work with as to how their factory floor runs. The battery and telematics basically give us a picture of how they operate. And then we design solutions specifically based on that data. So that gives us a lot of insight into the world of the customer. And we try to leverage that as much as possible.
Excellent. And do you ever use that data or the ability to have those insights in your marketing, as far as maybe in your materials or your positioning? How does that play a part in it?
Yeah, definitely with our case studies, we try to use that data as well as our positioning as well. You know, a lot of our competitors, everybody has data, but it's a matter of what you do with it. And you know, in our case, our track record perceives itself. You know, there's not many manufacturers have an engineering team, but not many distributors have an in-house engineering team like we do. So, you know, we have the years of experience and the internal expertise to to really back it up.
Excellent. So you mentioned case studies as one sales tool that you're producing out there. What else that you're involved in from a marketing perspective that's helping from marketing and also maybe kind of arming your sales folks as well?
Definitely with some of our diagnostic tools. We recently came out with a cost calculator that basically the customer will put in, the number of shifts they run, the number of batteries they have per forklift truck, the average life of their batteries. And basically once they submit this information based on the algorithms that we've created and the data that we historically have, we'll send them an email that details, number one, their total cost of ownership on an annual basis, and then two, their total cost of ownership on a lifetime basis, which we base off the age of the battery, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah. Have you noticed customers being hesitant with sharing that, or I guess prospects at this point, prospects being hesitant with sharing kind of that data with you, or so far have they been pretty open with it?
The majority are pretty open. Some don't want to disclose that information, especially if they're on the site level, because they may feel that they may feel threatened, or they may feel that they possibly could be doing a better job of managing their forklifts. But for the most part, I would say they're willing. I mean, in some cases, we've even had, after we provide a proposal, we've had some customers try to reverse engineer the solution that we provided with our proposal. So that's something we also have to watch out for, too.
Well, you guys probably put together some pretty thorough proposals for customers, yeah, to try to leverage in that way. So, this assessment, it sounds like it's becoming, or maybe is already, a kind of a key part of your marketing program. In general, how do you make sure that the content or programs that, programs like this, obviously, or content as well, you create is high quality and effective? Are there any measurements or any kind of maybe indicators that you guys use to figure out what's working and what's not?
You definitely want to know who you're writing for and what you want to achieve. And when it comes to our content, we're no different than any other marketers out there. I mean, we have our own challenges internally with it. And to be honest, again, we're still a young brand, so there's still a lot of fine tuning that needs to be done. And I guess you never really arrive. I mean, and of course, there's a lot of content that we have out there that doesn't get used at all by the sales team. And I know we aren't alone in that regard as well. But besides the activity metrics that you can track via HubSpot and within your CRM, that's what we go off of for the most part. And then, of course, verbal feedback from our sales team. So that's another way to go about it, too. But we're still there.
So on that verbal feedback from the sales team, is that a structured kind of a request from marketing to get their feedback, or does that feedback kind of happen sporadically? What's working for you guys?
Well, right now it's somewhat sporadic. I try to have as many one-off conversations I can with salespeople. We actually just had a content meeting the other day with our sales group where I talked about the buyer's journey, and then I mapped content to the buyer's journey specific to us, saying, here are certain types of content that you can use within our sales cycle. And at the end of that meeting, I asked if they would be open to a quarterly content meeting, and the response was yes, we would like a quarterly content meeting. So I'm starting to implement more of that structure right now.
Perfect. So it sounds like the marketing function at your company is pretty ingrained and aligned with sales. What are you hearing from them about kind of how this pandemic has impacted their sales approach? Anything maybe that they're now doing differently, or maybe you're doing differently from a marketing perspective that's working?
We've stayed the course for the most part with our outreach and cadence. I know they're just like everybody else. They're having difficulty getting people on the phone and getting people to answer emails. Well, at least new prospects. And I know we're not alone in that regard. People are working from home. They aren't necessarily on site or at the facilities. But in certain industries, like we have a lot of food processing and manufacturing companies that produce canned goods. So certain industries have really taken off and they're busy. And that means that they need our support now more than ever, while other industries maybe have kind of scaled back. And really, you know, all companies have kind of adopted that messaging that says, you know, we're here for you in uncertain times. And we did a little bit of that, but after a while, it really starts to become disingenuous, you know? So we're trying to find our footing and still trying to prospect on a regular basis. So,
yeah, we're seeing the same thing. People are harder to reach than ever, and obviously more distractions than ever in many different directions. So, the job for us marketing folks and sales, isn't becoming any easier.
No.
You mentioned a quarterly content meeting. So, you know, one area that, you know, one objective, I guess, is when you're communicating some complex, maybe solutions or offerings, is you need to lean on the subject matter experts, the internal ones, to kind of extract, do a little brain transplant. You know, you try to extract as much as you can from them and position it effectively. Internally for you guys, how does that process work? You know, as far as when you're creating a blog post or when you're creating a piece of content, historically, how have you dove into the subject matter expert's head and gotten out what you need? What's kind of working?
Sure. So I think one, you really have to give the person you're interviewing some context as to what, mm-hmm. as to what your goals are, give some background information, you know, and then really ask a lot of open-ended questions and really focus on, you know, the who, what, why, where, when, and how. And then also use other third-party sources that can help the interview process as well. You know, we, as marketers, we can't really be experts in everything. So, we heavily lean on our current marketing partners to do some of the heavy lifting as well when it comes to writing up and publishing content.
Absolutely. You know, as you're building out your marketing team, what are some elements of the team, or maybe just the marketing program in general, that you feel you need to have in order to be successful? If you could talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Again, I think before really diving into tactics and actionable marketing activity, I think really it's so important to understand who your customer is, again, and their pain points, those segments that, and then really determine those segments that you want to go after before anything happens. So I think that's something we're still in the midst of, and I don't think it ever ends, but I think that is the most important thing strategically to have nailed down before you start executing. So I would say that's the biggest part to a strong marketing foundation.
Excellent. When you're kind of researching your target customers and better understanding their pain points, are you leveraging your sales team primarily to fuel those insights? What does that process maybe look like?
Yeah, so it's a combination of, yes, some qualitative research. It's interviewing our sales team, as well as surveying our current customer base, and then also, again, persona interviews as well.
Perfect. Yeah, we're definitely aligned from that perspective. R.H. Blake in general has a kind of a strategy first mantra where, we feel that marketing programs are significantly more effective if you can get that initial strategy work, and to your point, the persona work kind of dialed in. So it's nice to hear that. So going back to, you know, you're relatively new in the industrial marketing field, what would you give to maybe others in a similar kind of position as you, newly hired marketing leaders? What are maybe some of the first things that you'd recommend they focus on, I don't know, in the first 60 or 90 days on the job?
Yeah, so this is something that I've definitely struggled with. You know, being comfortable with being uncomfortable, I think, is very important.
Absolutely.
As well as being kind to yourself. It takes a while to learn a job and a while to learn an industry. And really, again, rather than focusing on what's new and shiny, you know, read trade journals, interview your customers, and really have an open mind. So I think that's what my advice would be.
Perfect. And then maybe just the last question here, who are maybe some of your marketing inspirations? And this can be people, this can be companies, but are there folks out there or companies out there that, you know, you like, you make it a point to see what they're up to from a marketing perspective?
Yeah, man, that's a tough question. There is so much content out there when it comes to B2B marketing. It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, I don't think our problem as a society is a lack of information. You know, it's really what to do with it. Things that I've been drawn to lately, Predictable Prospecting by Mary Lou Tyler. That really gave me a lot of juice when I first started. I think James Soto of Industrial Strength Marketing is pretty good. Some of his takes. Doug Davidoff of Imagine Business Development is also pretty good. And then there's a combination of three different books and sales philosophies that all kind of feed off one another. Spin Selling by Neil Rackham, of course, is a classic. And then also The Challenger Sale within the past 10 years, and also Insight Selling. I think those three books are really good resources in the sales and marketing environment that we're operating in today. So
perfect. Yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely link to those in the transcripts and in the notes. Well, Eric, thank you so much for your time and your insights. This has been extremely interesting, and really appreciated the opportunity to kind of speak with you and learn a little bit more about your background and how you guys are marketing very concentric. So thank you very much.
Sure. Absolutely, Dan. I appreciate it. Thanks for your time. Have a nice day.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the B2B Manufacturing Marketing Executive Podcast. You can find today's show notes at rhblake.com/podcast. That's rhblake.com/podcast. Today's show was sponsored by RH Blake, a leading B2B and manufacturing-focused marketing agency. Learn more at rhblake.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes and subscribe. Please make sure to leave us a review of the show. Until next time.